In every star we see, and all the songs we sing, of shepherds on a hillside, of goodwill and peace. The lights on every tree, and all the gifts we bring, in every part of Christmas, we'll see our King. For He is the light that shines from the star. He is the shepherd watching over us all. And He is the peace that wise men still seek. A Savior born that we might live, He is the gift. Hope and joy and strength He offers all our days. Pure and perfect blessings, all wrapped in His grace. And when the lights come down, the moments disappear, He who gives us everything will still be here. For He is the light that shines from the star. Shepherd watching over us all, and He is the peace that wise men still seek. A Savior born that we might live, He is the gift. Savior born that we might live, He is the gift.
Let's have Children's Church dismissed at this time.
He is the gift that keeps on giving, isn't He? The Lord gave Him, and He continues giving salvation. Turn to Matthew chapter 2 this morning. And He not only gives salvation for eternity, He gives us salvation from the burden of our sin today. Amen. You all right over there, Brother Johnson? Okay. Trying to keep Brother Joe under wraps. Appreciate you. We all have our ministries. Amen. Matthew chapter 2, and begin in verse 1. Let's all stand together if you find your place. As soon as you find a place, you stand together as we honor God in the reading of His Word. Matthew chapter 2. Verse 1, the Bible says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is He that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east and are come to worship Him.'" Let's pray. Our Father, we are so very thankful that we could be gathered together this morning, Lord, as we draw closer and closer to this time and really just this whole season of celebrating the coming of our Savior to this earth. And Lord, we certainly rejoiced in this in an ongoing basis throughout the year. But Lord, as we really focus on this period of time and these events that took place, and Lord, I'm just so thankful that we can sing about it, praise you, and really even to this morning to think about your gift to us. Lord, there's nothing we can really return to you, really, other than just our reasonable service. So Lord, I pray that you'd bless now this morning as we go into your word, that we might be thankful for your guiding hand, your guidance for us and to you. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless now, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I want to talk about that, as I mentioned this morning, thankful for God's guidance. Number one is, it was really this, their search for the king. They had heard about they had seen a star, and of course they knew these things, and so they came searching for the king. They sought Jesus with urgency. No. They sought him with urgency. You ever been urgent? You know, people around here are urgent a lot. You know what I mean? Mostly on the highways. They're urgent. I mean, there's something important they're getting to. You know, the next red light or something, you know. But there's something about moving with urgency. You know what I'm saying? There's something about moving with urgency. Now, I was being a little facetious about a lot of times. We just live in a fast-paced society. I mean, if you're just getting through the grocery store, it's like you see people, they're going with this. Are you like, what are you doing? Right? I mean, you know, you see people, and then some have the, and then there's the opposite. Some sit there and they'll stop their cart in the middle. And you're like, no, I'll wait. You know, you almost want to like wait and pull out a lawn chair and sit there and just wait. You know what I mean? Kind of be sarcastic. So there's this thing, but I want to talk about this urgency. They came with urgency. They sought Jesus with this sincerity. And they came with this purpose there was to worship him. This was not an expeditionary trip to simply go and see, right? I think about the Louisiana Purchase, right? Lewis and Clark, y'all remember those guys? Y'all alive then? No. Y'all heard about them, I mean to say. And, you know, where we live, we started church in Iowa, was on a part of that route, you know, along the Missouri River and some of those things. And so they celebrated, had an old boat. But, you know, they just went to just scope out the land. What all did we get? And they found out, wow, it goes to another ocean. You know, it's kind of an interesting thing. And that's not what this was. This wasn't let's go and just check out the land. This is we were going to worship. Their purpose was very clearly to come, not simply to a king of the Jews, but to worship a God, you see. Who Jesus is to a person. Listen to what I'm saying to you here this morning. Who Jesus is to a person will determine their urgency and sincerity in coming to him. No. You say, well, you know, we can learn a lot about somebody, about who Jesus is to them by their urgency and their sincerity when they get there to him, right? When they get to that place. This is why I've mentioned this to some different things, maybe discipleship, different things I've talked about, maybe from the pulpit a little bit. When I try to share the gospel with somebody, and if I start to share the gospel with somebody, and they're like, yeah, and they give that kind of stuff, you know what I'm right away doing? I'm backing out. Hey, listen, let me give you a track, and if you have anything we could do for you, you know what I try to do? I just want to leave them with something. Because if you're not interested, if the Spirit of God can't draw you to make you interested, I can't do it. I can't do what the Spirit of God can't do. And so, likewise, if people come to church, and you know, you've heard me say this before. I used to try to make everyone be as lit up and tuned in as everyone else was. And I would end up preaching the loudest, the hardest, and right next to the people that are dozing. And I found that no matter how hard I did, it really didn't work. If they're tired, they're tired. Loudness, you learn to sleep through that, especially if you have kids, right? And so learning, it's a lifelong pursuit, is that the people that come with an urgency, that's who I really want to get the message to. They're the ones that are going to get it anyway. The ones that come because I'm supposed to be here today, one day they will tune in. One day Jesus will become something more to them, and He will be something. But if it's not, you know, you see the teenage kid that slides down, puts the hat down. You know, some grandma comes by, knocks it off the head. Don't you wear it? Amen. You know. Anyway, I don't. But you'll get that. You know. Can I tell you what? Sometimes they're listening. And I've learned to say, if I just leave them alone, let the Spirit of God do what I can do, God can penetrate the heart. But I want to say this, what I'm saying is who Jesus is to a person will determine their urgency and their sincerity in coming to Him. If He's simply someone to help us get to heaven. No. If He's just someone to help us get to heaven, our urgency will be affected. If that's how we're thinking, Jesus, man, I'm thankful for Jesus. I couldn't do life without Him. Okay, what does that mean? Right? You know, if He's someone that helps us, it kind of suggests that maybe we could do it without Him. Maybe we could do it without Him. Maybe we don't actually need Him. Sure, He would be helpful, but is it worth the effort to get to Him His way? See, if I'm thinking Jesus is just somebody that can help me, if that's what I'm thinking, no. Woo, He helps. I can't imagine life without Jesus. But if I don't really think He is the answer, I'm coming to Him a little bit different way, aren't I? If Jesus is more than a king, if He is truly God, our sincerity and our urgency to get to Him will be significantly different. No. Our urgency and our sincerity will be significantly different. And what I mean by significant, I mean you notice the difference. You notice what somebody thinks about Jesus by how they interact with what His Word. With talking about, with their conversation of when we talk. I don't mean just sitting here in church. I just mean, you know, do you talk about Jesus? Are you interested in things of God? Is there something, there's an urgency and sincerity? I'm always thrilled with people that ask questions about the Bible. I love people asking questions about the Bible. I don't always like questions about the property. Amen. Thank you. I just, especially Sunday, right? I love questions about things of God because that talks about a sincerity and an urgency, right? I don't always like questions about problems because there's always problems. One day, we're going to get rid of all those problems. That's not the first coming, that's the second. Even so, come Lord now. I know we practiced, Lord, for this cantata hard, but Lord, if you come tonight, we'll be all right. Man, it's coming today. Whew, that's going to be a wonderful day. So if he's more than just a king, if He's a God, then it's gonna significantly change. It's gonna be different. The wise men's effort was extensive. Their effort was extensive. Even though we're only given the fact that they came from the east, almost all Bible scholars would agree that and believe, when I say agree, they believe that they came from the region of Babylon. That's really most everyone that's done any study, grabs this out, pulls all the things he can, and the scripture and all the things, believe it's probably, you know, was it somewhere else? Maybe, but it's that region at least. It's due east, you know, came from the east. Babylon was the center of Babylon. You know, I don't know if you knew this or not, which I didn't either. Babylon was the center of astrological studies at the time. Did y'all know that? Yeah, I found that out this week. So, you know, I'm just saying that. So that's very likely the place that's the center of it. This, I'm just saying some of the reasons why people think Babylon was the area. Jewish scripture was copied there. It was taught there, and it was discussed in Babylon. That's where the many, many Jews still live there at the time. There's still many Jews from the captivity that stayed there, and we know that over through history and scripture. And the trip from Babylon would have been about 500 to 600 miles. They may have traveled. Again, this is where we guess maybe could have been this many. You know, how fast did they travel? They were, I mean, there's urgency. Maybe it's a little bit quicker. There was also, no doubt, an entourage and so forth. So they may have traveled 10 to 20 miles a day, maybe less. Imagine traveling 10 miles a day on horseback or wagons pulling things through nicely manicured roads, which they were not, you know. This means it was likely a long journey that took months. It took months. The risks of being looted and killed were among the challenges of the harshness of the journey itself, right? I mean, you're not just bringing the gifts that we're so very well aware of. We're going to talk about those in a minute. But there's other things. You'd have to bring provisions for months. It's not just a pouch of water, right? There's provisions for this long journey had to be brought. And so there's a lot of things that would be involved in this journey, in this trip, and all the things. Their search for the king was with personal cost. No, I want you to get this. Their search for this king that they were coming to worship was with great personal cost. And so what I want to, here's just an early challenge, early question for us, is ours? Is our search for living for the Lord or to find Him, is there any personal cost for us? Or are we finding how I can get about living for the Lord without it costing me? No, like this. I want to be able to do what I've always done, the way I've always done it, and how I've always lived without it. But I want to find Jesus. I want to live for Jesus. But I don't want it to adjust anything in my life. Right? I'm not saying, I'm just a question we ask ourselves, right? Is our search for the King of Kings at a personal cost to us? But the second thing is this, their shining star. I titled this point, Their Shining Star. And I'm going to get to that in a bit, why I call it their star. But look at verse 2 again. It's saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star. Of course, they're accrediting that that's his star in the east, and we are come to worship him. They saw the star from where they were. I tried to do a little research on stars and how far you see them and what it looks like. It seems to me if you see a star everywhere because it's out like in outer space, right? I started doing some research on stars and all this kind of stuff. There's a rabbit trail. I mean, you just start digging and you're like, by the time you're done, you're like, oh man, if I go on this, I'm not going to get back to the Bible. So I want to just say this about these things. I'll get to talk about a star a little bit more, but there's so many interesting events at the birth of Christ. So many interesting things are happening here. There was a virgin-born child. That happened once. I know people say there was other people. Like, no. One time in all the history that happened. That's pretty interesting. It's just not how that works normally. Unless God intervenes in that thing. Angels appeared on several occasions in this period of time. Angels, several occasions. We find angels appearing here and there. But several occasions they came to Mary, came to Joseph, came to the shepherds, came to the wise men. I mean, all kinds of stuff's happening, right? Several occasions angels appeared on this. And specific saints were led to the temple at just the occasion of the Lord's coming into the temple. This wouldn't have been a lot. We can sometimes misunderstand or maybe, you know, think of things we don't really understand. This event of Jesus coming into the temple, giving the offering at the 8 days and do this, it wasn't like an all-day affair. It was come in, you do your thing, and then you get out of the way, and somebody else comes and does their thing. Right? It's not like people want to do this christening. I don't even know what the christening is, but they do a christening and they have a special christening dress for boys and girls, right? And you can buy them at christening stores. No. But you get this and they come, and I think it's baptizing. I don't even know what it is. But they do some thing, and there's like this whole thing, and some do, it's like this whole thing, and like there becomes this whole like deal about it, and you know, it's a whole, I don't even know what it is, honestly. Then there's others, but we've done this in the past. We've done this in Baptist Church. What we do is we dedicate children. We dedicate them. Like, what is that? It's on the altar. No, we dedicate when we dedicate a child to the Lord. And typically, it's a baby. I mean, I know people have gotten saved later in their life, and they do like, hey, you know, my kid's 12 now. Can I, you know, amen? Dedicating a child to the Lord is really dedicating the parents. To say, I'm dedicating my life to raise this child in the Lord, right? And so there's some of those kind of things, and it becomes a bit of an event. It's kind of a quick thing that came in and did it. So it's kind of an interesting thing that both Simeon and Anna came in at the same time. I mean, during that period of time, one came in, as soon as one's gone, the next one comes in and has their experience, and there's this. It's an interesting thing. They both were led of the Spirit. And now we find here this star. What kind of star was it? Was it a dwarf star? A red star? I didn't write them all down. I remember reading some of these. There's different. I thought, okay, there's probably a few. There's like a whole list of them. Like, and then there's, you know, like, was it a large star? Was it hot? There's different temperatures of stars. Hot. Not so hot, less hot, a little cooler, about ready to die, all these kind of things. Was it starting up? Was it a startup star? There's a name for all those. If I wrote all this down, I'd just be in the weeds with it. It's really hard to understand all of this stuff from this passage. We don't have a lot there. But what we do know about it was strange. They saw the star from the east. That's east. But it only led them to Jerusalem. Right? To that vicinity, we'd say, because we know that they came to Jerusalem. It's in that direction, and it wasn't, you know, it was just there. And so, evidently, it had disappeared now as they drew near to this capital of the land. So we find they had to now use a different way. I want y'all to catch this. This is, to me, it's just so fascinating. So here they brought this far, and now it evidently, I'm saying evidently, we're going to see what I'm saying. Evidently, it disappeared. They couldn't see it anymore. Maybe it was cloudy. I'm just trying to throw that out there. I don't know. Maybe it was cloudy. It seems like it was more than one day. All of a sudden, it's gone. They're following. It's gone. And so they're now going to have to find a different way to find the king because the star has disappeared. And so they're searching for this king and they can't find him now. So we find here, look at verse 2 again. And they come here and they say, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Okay, so get the picture, right? They were led to the area. Then, when they got there, and evidently the star wasn't there anymore, or it wasn't given any direction anymore, whatever that means, whether it was, I don't know what it means. It just means they, so they found another way. You know what they do? They go to the Scriptures. Look at verse 5. And they said unto him, who is the they? Well, the priests and the scribes, those that knew the word of God. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. I love it. They knew exactly. They knew the Scriptures. Got them together. I don't have a sense. I don't know. I don't have a sense. They got together and, hey, where's this going to be? And they're like, I don't know. We're going to have to, can you give us a couple weeks to work on this? I don't get that sense. Maybe it was. But I do find this. They got it. The chief priests and the scribes, they knew this thing. And, you know, there may be things in our life and in our lives that'll guide us. I want you to hear what I'm going to say to you this morning. As I was studying and preparing this particular, you know, when you preach the same group of chapters every year, every time you dig a little deeper, you find something a little different perspective, a little interesting. It's I was thinking about this time around, and it's just fascinating. There may be things in our life that will guide us. But as we see here, it is the Word of God that is the definitive guide. No. Things will come up in your life that will redirect you. Can I tell you, the star would not ever save a soul. The star wasn't the answer. The star was the guide to get to the answer. Look now, verse 7. Then Herod, when he had privily called, privily just is our old English word for privately, right? Had called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star, what's that next word? Appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and, air quotes, worship him. I'm air quoting it. Y'all know what that means. He ain't going to worship him at all. Matter of fact, we know, we're not going to get to that, but we know what he wanted to come do is kill him. And he's going to attempt that. So an interesting point to see here, this was a private conversation about when this star first appeared, right? This was a period in history. Can I tell you, I want you to be aware of this. This was a period in history at the turn of the middle of the point of the dot, right? From before Christ to after. This was a period in history when the whole world was stargazing. Right? They were looking for signs, looking for omens, looking, using the stars to determine their futures. Serious time. All of the from the Romans to the Greeks to the pagans, all over they looked to the stars to find some directive guide. And you know, in Sri Lanka still to this day, astrology has turned into has been combined with Buddhism. And it was never actually, other Buddhists and other nations don't use astrology kind of the way Sri Lankans do, but it came in there and now it's a big thing. So here's what they do, and some of you have heard me talk about this before. They would based where the stars were aligned, and who knows how the stars, well, the astrologists. Yeah, the president of the country has a personal astrologist advises him based on the stars. And he had told him one period, he said, now is the time, because the president in Sri Lanka could call for an early election at any time. After 2 years, I think you could call for an early election. And the astrologer astrologist, said, now's the time. Stars are lined up. Now is the time. So he called for an early election. Lost. That astrologer left the country for his life. You know, man, I mean, that's gambling. That's guesswork, right? And he lost. So that's what gamblers do. But the what they would do when a child was born, they would look at the very hour, that the moment that the child was lost, they'd look at where the stars, and they would get like so many, I think it's five or six letters based off of those. And so they would get these dice that have, and they would, based on those, whatever letters came up, they would make a name out of those letters. That's why when you see Sri Lankan names, they can't even pronounce it. We'd ask, they'd come to our class, how do you say their name? They're like, they don't know either. And I thought, okay, I don't feel quite as ignorant. And it just, could you imagine making up, how did you get that name? The stars. So when I'm saying all that to say this to you folks is, this was a period in history where everyone was looking to the skies, right? This is what was going on. But in Jerusalem, they hadn't so much as even noticed this new star that was seen from several hundred miles away, for months at least. Evidently, we see, you know, we know Herod later is going to say from 2 years and under. We don't know. We just know it could be somewhere from some months to a couple years later. This star had been there, and they didn't even know it was there. Weren't even aware of it. And you're, to the point that nobody is around and asked them, when did you see it? Because they were, we've seen there, they were all, kind of in a little bit of a, what does it say there? Herod had heard, they were troubled, verse 3. And Herod and the king had heard these things. He was troubled in all Jerusalem. Everyone was troubled. You know why everyone was troubled? I'm going to get to that later. Okay? I want to just say this. No doubt there were Jews at that time that were also looking to the stars. You say, would they do that? I thought they weren't supposed to. No. Actually, the Bible tells them several times not to be, actually uses the word stargazers. Not to be looking to those. Not to be looking for the signs of all this. And God had to say it in the Old Testament over and over and over. You know why he had to do it over and over and over? Because they went back to it. You know why God tells us things over and over and over in the New Testament? Because we go back to the same stuff. Okay, so no doubt there were Jews at that time looking for the stars. No doubt they were influenced by the Greeks and the Romans that were in the vicinity of. For all to miss this new star would have been unimaginable. Nobody said, hey, today if there's a new star, you're pretty famous, I guess, in that kind of world that I don't know much about. So the wise men had to resort to the guidance of the Word of God. Look at verse 9 now. It says, when they had heard the king, they departed. Watch this. And lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. This is both awesome and full of wonder. It disappeared, right? That's how the kids would say it. Disappeared. And now it reappeared. This, the star that was guiding them disappeared, but then when the Word of God was consulted, no, you see that? When the Word of God was consulted, it reappeared, guiding them not just in a direction, but to a specific house. You ever seen a star that just looked like it was kind of over a house? Yeah, me neither. Me neither. Because you know why? They're way out there. I don't know how far out there. I don't know. They're a long ways. We see those rockets go out there, and they're gone, and the light disappears, right? And they're gone out there, and then they come back, and you see a little bit. But it's so far out. Nowhere ever would that look like, outside of our atmosphere, would it look like something is sitting over a property. You see what I'm saying? This isn't a normal star. star stood over where the young child was. I looked up that word a little bit, kind of did some research on the word star and what that word means. It means a star. It means a star. But there's other times in the scriptures where it uses that as an analogy. You know, it talks about different things talks about in the book of Revelation, the pastors are a star, right? And so it's not always a star, doesn't always mean a star, but it does give that image. It was evidently a pretty bright light that you could see from hundreds of miles away that could be turned off. Listen, God can turn off and turn on. Well, that's not how stars work. Well, when they're God's, they are. He does what maybe he just put his hand in front. I don't know how it worked, but I'm just different. It was not like a normal star at all. It stood and stopped over a house. This was a supernatural occurrence that God had given. He had given for these wise men to come from afar. That's why I like to call it their star. God gave it to them. But they needed this, folks. This, I think, there becomes a little bit of a turning point here. But they needed to consult the Word of God in the midst of a society that knew the Scriptures even though they weren't seeking it themselves. So here we see how God guided these wise men. God met them where they were. Met them where they were. They were watchers of the heavens. You say, you think, does that mean we should watch the heavens? Nope. Does not. I'm not going to start being a stargazer. I'm not going to take up astronomy, which is astronomy and astrology, two different things. One just does what we do here, and the other looks at it as answers and signs and mysticism. But they were watchers of the heavens, and so God used a sign that they would recognize. Today, the Lord will still use that which will get our attention in this world. No, you and I. God will use things in our life that will grab a hold of us that we're looking at. Right? God will do things, maybe it's in our relationships. God will use something. Maybe it's in our jobs. Different things in our own particular world that we will personally notice, even if no one else sees it. God will use something in your life. God will bring something into your life that will grab a hold of your attention that you're already looking at. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's work. Maybe it's some economic thing that you're looking at. Maybe it's something with your children or with your parents or whatever it is. Something in your life, your family, something that you're looking at that you will notice, even if no one else does. Is God still doing stuff like that? You better believe He's still doing stuff like that. Certainly He's doing stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah. But God did not give them everything at once. The star got them moving. This thing that's in your life, maybe right now you're already thinking about, I know exactly what God did in my life to get my attention. Maybe you're thinking right now, I know what God is doing in my life right now. I know that thing that, and you ever had a thing like that and you try to tell somebody else about it and they're like, uh-huh. It's like a nothing to them. And you're like, no, this is really interesting. And they're like, oh yeah, that's neat. They don't get it the same way because God's given you something to get your attention. And this thing in your life is the attention getter. Once your attention has been gotten, you are then directed to that which actually gives the answer. No, there's two different things. There's an attention getter, and then there's the answer. Right? God will use all sort of things to grab attention. Man, I'm telling you, through my life, I look at things that God was using in my life before I got saved to be attention getters in my life. No, those weren't the ways of salvation. Those were attention getters. Sometimes, for me, it was trouble my friends got in. Sometimes it was stupid things people did. Sometimes it was stupid things I did, right? Sometimes it was realizations of life and death and health, all these kind of things of eternity. But then once you've been getting, then God directs you to the answer. The answer, can I say this too? Clearly, I want you to grab this part. Scripture gives the answer. The star is not the gospel. But it led to the place where they could find the answer. I've asked people, many times people come showing up at our church. I say, how'd you find this church? I mean, we are in kind of a hub. People drive by here all the time. No, we're not. Nobody drives here unless they happen to live in this neighborhood. So when somebody finds our church, people just come in and like, how did you guys? Like, well, I just, you know, I was looking for a church. You've got to pass a bunch of churches to get here. You know what I'm saying? You've got to pass other Baptist churches to get here. I mean, this isn't like, it's fascinating to me. I don't know, just my human nature. I'm like, and I do, I want to sit down and quiz them. And it's frustrating to me though? I'll sit down and ask them, how did you find them? They're like, I don't know. They have no good answer. It's kind of frustrating. Give me an answer so I can repeat that with other people, you know? And it's just, you know, really, isn't it just God did something to draw them here. It's like, you know, and looked at the website, found something. It looked, you know, looked interesting. Somebody said, I don't know, my dad said to go this. Others people say different things. It's just like, you know, we're just driving by. I drove by one day. I thought, I'm going to go try. I'm like, just amazing. But that star wasn't the answer. It was the guide. Scripture gives the answer. It is the Word of God that ultimately directs us to truth. Not the worldly experience. No. I want more response from that one. Okay, because I want you to grab this. Don't miss this part, because this is where I've dealt with people throughout the years, and it's so frustrating to me. They're like, I said, well, tell me about when you got saved. Well, this thing happened. I was sick. I had cancer. And this thing, and then it went away. And that's when I got saved. No, sir. No, ma'am. You could have a really neat worldly experience. Amen? That God will use as a star that's like not really a star. That hovers over houses light. I don't know. Right? Let's go back there. Could you imagine how bright a light would have to be over your house for somebody to see it 600 miles away? You couldn't sleep. I just think through some of these things. It's amazing. And so this light was supernatural. Is it okay to say supernatural things come in people's life to draw them, to guide them to God? I think it's okay to say that. Sometimes as Baptists, we're like, no, I don't see it in Scriptures. Salvation. And when I say people, I'm talking about me. I say stuff. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you what I see here is this. God used something, but when they got there, that something wasn't the end. It was getting them to that place. Not the worldly experiences. Okay. I don't think when those wise men went back home, I don't think they talked about the star. You know what I'm saying? I don't think they talked about that experience. I think they talked about what they saw. Who they were. No. There's some neat things. Yeah. Super neat. Fascinating. Star, light-ish thing that nobody's seen but us. Man, how awesome is that? Only I've seen it. Try to explain that to somebody, spiritually speaking, from the Bible. You can't. Did it happen? Well, this one did, but we don't know all. So here they are. They get back, and they go back to men. There was this starish thing. It was neat. No. We found Jesus. We found what we had been hearing about in the Word of God. We found Him. They didn't have all of it, evidently. They couldn't find there in Micah that it talked about where. Otherwise, they wouldn't even stopped off at Jerusalem. They'd went right to Bethlehem. So they get there and they say, well, this happened, I'm telling you. So what I want to grab this part before we move on from it, and then we're going to move on. Don't major on the worldly experience. It's okay that God used that in your life. Amen. That's what He guided you to, the truth of the Word of God. That's what we ought to see now in our life. God, listen, further guidance came as they obeyed. Okay, what we find, that's really what we find here. So, listen, God's guidance became clearer as they obeyed. The star reappeared after they went to Jerusalem. Right? You see, I think the way God works is He, and I say I think, I don't know everything about God. I'm still learning. And even all the things I learned, I'm not sure if I get it all. Just, I don't know if you know this, but His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And His ways are higher than my. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to figure it out so I can try to figure it out so I can help you to understand it. But I'm still in the work myself, right? So here's the way God works, though. He says, hey, here's the thing. Come. Jesus said, no man come unto me except the Father draw him. God does things in our life to draw us. By the way, God doesn't give you a heathen a scripture verse to draw them. They don't understand it. They don't know it. They don't believe it. It's nothing to them. Now, but it is the truth that makes us free. So God gives us something and we respond to that. We say, okay, God, I'll do this thing. And God said, okay, now I want to give you the next thing. Okay, I'm going to follow it. Sometimes we say, you know what sometimes we'll do? We'll do something like this. This is about as far Christian I want to get. This is about as far, this is about as much as I want. I'm not sure that I want to go any more than this. Listen, I'm coming to church Sunday mornings now, every Sunday, most every Sunday morning, if the race isn't on or anything, you know, there. And that's about as Christian as I want to be. That's what, can I say, a lot of folks in this world are like that. And God says, okay, well, good. That's a good start. When you're ready to come the next step, then I'm going to give you some more. And so we say, God, there's this, I'm going to come to the cantata tonight. You'll see what I did there. Okay. where did I go? I lost my own. But God's guidance became clear as they obeyed. The star reappeared after they went to Jerusalem. Direction becomes more precise, showing them not simply a direction, but God's clear instruction from here. Right? Joy increases as clarity increases. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 10 again. When they saw the star, now this is they're re-seeing it, like it reappeared. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. It's back. Okay. Whew. They got excited. No. They seen something. God began to draw them and kind of direct them to this part of the world. They were over here in the east, right? And they head back to the west. Is that right? That's close enough. Y'all understand. And so, it's probably behind us. I don't know. I get confused. You get inside of a building, I get. So they're over here. They see that and they're like, wow, let's go over there. And they're getting there and then it's gone. And they're like, where's the at? And they go to the people and God directs them to the people that have the Word of God. People direct us here. People to this church. People are going to come in this church all messed up. They're going to come here all messed up. They're not going to know about truth. They're not going to know about the things of God. They're going to say, oh yeah, we're good with God. They won't know anything about being good with God. I would have told you I was going to heaven before I understood anything about God. And they're going to come in here and God's just bringing them here. And they're going to come here and God is directing them here. And you know what He's bringing them here for? So that we can tell them about Bethlehem. That's amazing. Christmas is a big time for that. I mean, that's kind of when that was. Right? But I'm telling you. When they got some truth and said, wow, that's the answer. I'm telling you, having the answer from the Word of God, it's exhilarating. I've been looking for it, and that it brings joy, and there's the star comes back. Now we've got this. It's an exciting thing. Knowing truth is what brings joy, not just the worldly experiences. That star was amazing. I'm sure it was amazing. It was amazing. Supernatural amazing. But that didn't bring the joy. It's the truth. That's what brought the joy. Scripture was central, not bypassed. Listen, if you or I will lean. It's okay that God did something, naturally speaking, to draw. It's okay. It's okay. That's not the primary, though. If we put our focus on our experience instead of the Word of God, we're going to come up empty, folks. The Scripture cannot be bypassed. If your testimony of salvation has to do with physical experiences, you've missed it. I cannot tell you how many people, I think I've told y'all the story. This is fitting for astrological message. I can remember this fellow, I still remember it. I was sitting on the back of my car. And I was visiting a fellow in our church, and we're sitting on the back. There was a fellow there, a neighbor, and come over. And I said, hey, we're talking about things of God. And I'm always trying to find an opportunity. And I said, hey, tell me about when you, he's talking about stuff. And I said, well, tell me. I said, you know you're going to heaven. Oh, yeah, I know I'm going to heaven. I said, well, great. Well, tell me about your testimony. I'd like to hear your testimony. He said, well, one night when I was sleeping. So when a testimony starts in sleep, something a little weird. But he said, I was sleeping, and I had a dream. And my grandpa came, he had died a while back. My grandpa came in a spaceship from the other side of the moon. And he came out, and he said, don't worry, when you die, I'll get you. That was the end of his testimony. And I'm like, okay. And I kind of smirked a little bit, and I was like, and he was like, yeah. I'm like, do you believe that? He said, yeah. I'm like, I didn't want to mock him, but I thought she was joking. So, bro, when y'all get up there, can you see if that's back there on the other side of the moon, Brother Joe? Just see if. And I thought, I said, and he was so serious. He was so serious. And I thought, I said, no. And I mean, he believed that experience in a dream one night. Could you imagine putting your hope? And I said, now I know that you, I don't doubt that you had some experience. I said, but can I tell you, that's not what the Bible says. And I showed him in the Word of God, and he said, nope, I'm going to trust that experience. Scripture was central here. It was not bypassed. They needed Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, thou which be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth had been from old, from everlasting. They needed the Word of God. The sign of the star did not replace the Word. It just began the guidance. The Word of God completed the guidance. It is the truth that makes us free. But then there was their sincere surrender. Look at verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. First things first, they worshipped before they gave. The first response to the Lord is worship because of who He is. This is not about you or me. It's about who He is. Right? Then they gave. First they worshiped, then they gave. What they gave was costly and meaningful. First of all, they gave gold. Gold was the chosen gift to bring before a king. That's Scripture points that out. History points that out. Throughout Scripture and society, we see that gold is what you brought to a king. Second was frankincense. Y'all ever seen frankincense? Yeah, not really. Frankincense was a very particular gift. It was only given and only used for the worship of a deity. No Jew would even be allowed to burn it. Scripturally, you were not allowed to burn it for their own personal use. It was meant to be burned on the altar by a priest. That when you burned it, it came up as a cloud and covered. Every pagan nation would use it. Others would use it. They used it in the temple, in the altar of incense. They used that. That was the only place that they would use it. What a worthless gift for a young family. Unless I'm What I'm saying is why they would have brought these gifts. They seen Jesus as God. They were coming to see a God, and this would have been an appropriate gift. They seen him as a king. But then there was the myrrh. This was a gift often given to kings as an expensive commodity, primarily used for perfuming. Man, I didn't want to get out of my mouth. Perfuming the body when you're alive, but also for death, and some kind of gives some symbolism there. I think the interesting thing, myrrh would have been the easiest to sell. Frankincense, actually, pound for pound, was more valuable than gold. And obviously, gold would have been easy to barter as well. These gifts were all of great value. This was no small gift. This was a great sacrifice. There's hardly any doubt from anybody that does much research on this and study on this that this was, there's no doubt that this was not three well-dressed men traveling for months with great wealth. Three guys with this bucket of gold. Right? And this very expensive frankincense just traipsing through the desert on their own. Likely this was a whole entourage that traveled with protection throughout the journey. Probably a lot of protection. Three is the number of the gifts. Gold, frankincense, myrrh. Not the number of wise men. The number of the wise men was... Well, we don't know. We don't know. We use when we set up, we always, when we set up a nativity, we don't put the wise men with it. We put it over somewhere else because they came later. Like, why do you do that? Because I'm true to Scripture. I don't know. I don't know why. It's part of the story, so it's there. But there's three because there's three gifts, but there could have been many more. We know there's at least two. Because it was wise men. Could have been many more. It's really not even the point. But after that, then they return home. Look at verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. They departed another way. Watch this. They were changed by obedience. This is so indicative of a life in one who meets Jesus. You cannot return the way you came when you really meet. No. When you really meet Him, you really experience worshiping Him. You see that God said what all that God does. The Word of God directs you to Him. You do not leave the same way you came. If you can leave like you came, you didn't meet Him. By the way, I don't mean just for salvation. I mean regularly. Here's our conclusion this morning. I know we're a little long. This I'm wrapping up this time anyway. So I'm going to, real quick. Number one, searching for the King is really less of finding Him and more of us responding to His call. But it does begin by taking heed to His drawing. Here's the question for you this morning. Is the Lord using something in your world right now to get your attention? Is God doing something in your life right now? Second thing, the Star of Bethlehem was amazing. But it was particularly for those wise men. What God is doing in your life specifically designed to arrest your attention. There may not be another person in the world, literally, that gets what God's doing in your life. They might not get it. They may not be living it. They may not be following it. You may be a black sheep in your family that no one else is following what you're wanting to follow. You're like, how can you not see this? God didn't give it to them. He's given it to the one that will respond. It's for you. And that's okay. God will deal with them when they're ready to be dealt with, when they respond to that drawing. It's for you. Do not focus on whoever else is following it or whoever else is not following it. But one thing is sure, it will lead you to His Word. It will lead to His Word. It will not be confirmed without the Word of God. So third thing is this. How sincere is your surrender to Him? You say, oh, it's super sincere. Oh, yeah. I really, really mean it. And my life is all about Jesus. Right? Praise hands. Right? It's all about Him. Sincerity is not determined by our word. It's evidenced by your surrender. What is in your life that would demonstrate that Jesus Christ truly is your Lord and Savior? Let's all stand. Father, I do pray that you would you help us this morning, Lord, guide in the hearts. Lord, you've done so much. And Lord, you do that which is individualized and particular. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us this morning. Lord, maybe there's some here that you have been doing some things in their life to draw them to your word, guide them. Lord, maybe today would be the day of salvation. Maybe there's some here this morning, Father, that would have been being drawn, being interested. And maybe there's a lot of other thoughts in their life already of what salvation was. But Lord, as you've drawn them here to this place, this very moment today, you've made it clear to them that what they need to do is come to your word and trust Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. Lord, I pray if there's something like that this morning, you'd smote that heart, draw them, and they would respond. That the true joy that your word talks about, they'd find. And then, Lord, maybe there's some here this morning as well that, Lord, you're doing other things in their life. And you're doing things to draw them in their own world that only they would see so that they might take that next step of surrender to you. Lord, I pray that you'd have your will and way in this time of invitation this morning. Listen, if God has spoken to your heart this morning, maybe you're here this morning and you'd say, Pastor, I realize I need to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior.